You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is the Locked On Jets podcast on Monday, October 15th, 2018. I'm your host, John B. from gangrenenation.com. Thank you for joining us today as we recap a New York Jets victory. The Jets are on their first winning streak in around one calendar year. They defeated the Indianapolis Colts at MetLife Stadium yesterday, 42-34, a shootout. And I think a lot of people are going to draw a connection from this game. I don't think it's going to be lost on a lot of members of the media. I imagine today a lot of the stories are going to note that the 1968 Jets were honored at halftime of this game. It is the 50th anniversary of the franchise's only championship, the Super Bowl III team that beat the Colts, which is why they chose the game against the Colts to honor them. And I think a lot of the stories from this game in the media are going to focus on that and wonder aloud whether the Jets honored their only championship team, the only team in franchise history that's won the Super Bowl, on the day that maybe the quarterback who will win the franchise their next Super Bowl had his first breakout performance. A tremendous job by Sam Darnold. The rookie quarterback had an excellent game. He completed 24 of 30, 280 yards, two touchdowns, one interception in this game, in this victory. And what I'm going to tell you is this. You should be happy right now, and you should be enjoying this. And you should not be enjoying this because Darnold played a good game. And you should not be enjoying this because the Jets are 3-3 right now and in the mix. It's not about this year. Now, listen, could the Jets make a run? Why not? I mean, not like the AFC is loaded with talent. I think this Jets team is very much in the mix right now. So these are reasons to be happy. But I'll tell you the real reason to be happy right now is the Jets have a future. And it's a stark contrast. You can't help but draw the comparison with the other team in New York. What happened during the NFL draft this spring? The Jets got themselves a future, Sam Darnold. The Giants got themselves a running back. So this season, I think, is really about Darnold's development. And you have to understand, this is a marathon, not a sprint. Darnold's progress with this team is about what will happen in the next 10 to 15 years if the Jets are lucky. And this was a first major step forward. And I think that this game was different than the other games he's played so far this season. I think there are other games where he's been good. I think he was good Monday night against Detroit week one. I think he was good last week against the Denver Broncos. But he had a lot to lean on in those games. He had a strong run game to lean on. The defense was playing excellent football in those two games. Darnold was just one of many guys putting in good performances in those games. This week, I think the Jets won this game because of Sam Darnold. I think Darnold took on a bigger role. Darnold was the driving force behind this victory because the Jets had a lot of areas where they were struggling, a lot of areas where guys were not playing that well. And Darnold delivered. You know, he was making smart, quick reads. He was delivering accurate footballs. Just in a way he wasn't those other games he's played, even the games he's played well. There was the one big mistake where, you know, he kind of threw the ball off the back foot and it was a really ugly pass. But I think this was a really big moment for Sam Darnold. It was the first of what should be many great performances in his young career. And in a lot of ways, this season is kind of like I view it as kind of a house money type of season. Not completely. Now, I don't think you could view it this way if the team was a total disaster, 3-13 type season, the way the trajectory seemed to look just a couple weeks ago. You know, I think back to that Monday 2 weeks ago after the Jacksonville game where I said something to the effect of that Monday night Detroit seems like a long time ago, and it did. Well, now after these last 2 weeks, that disaster in Jacksonville seems like a very long time ago. But it's about the future. You know, it's not just about this year. And I think the worst case scenario for the Jets. Now, the best case scenario is Darnold keeps playing like this. He gets hot and drags the team to a playoff performance. That's the best case scenario. The worst case scenario is you see games like this where he grows. And look, there are still going to be some bad games. There's still going to be games where he looks lost. That's just rookie quarterbacks. That's just the way it goes. But you should take joy in games like this, because games like this are the type of performances that show you this season's going to be worth it no matter what happens from this point forward. This is the type of performance that gives you hope for the future. And this is not just about 2018. This is about the next 10 to 15 years in the future of this franchise. And this, again, this was a big step forward for Darnold. You know what impressed me about this is, as the announcers at CBS were pointing out, the Colts are a team that likes to play two safeties deep. So how do you usually beat a team that plays two safeties deep? I mean, there are two general ways you attack them. There are two general vulnerabilities defenses like that have. The first is you want to run the ball effectively, because keeping that extra safety deep means that the offense has a numbers advantage when it tries to run the ball. You always hear about, do you drop an extra safety into the box? Well, if you drop an extra safety into the box, it gives the defense a numbers advantage, because it means that there's one extra player in the box that the offense can't block. So, you know, a traditional offense, you know, base offense is five offensive linemen, a tight end, and a fullback. So that's seven blockers. Against a 4-3 or a 3-4, you have, you know, 4-3, you have four defensive linemen, three linebackers. 3-4, you have three defensive linemen, four linebackers. That's seven. The safety is the eighth guy. So you have seven blockers against eight defenders. So you drop that safety into the box, that extra safety into the box. Offense doesn't have enough guys to block everybody. So that's how you stop the run. If you keep both safeties deep, then it's 7-7. Or I guess, you know, in the modern NFL, teams put a third, take the fullback off the field, put a third receiver in. So the safety becomes the seventh guy against six blockers. So the first way you beat a two deep look is you run the ball effectively, because again, you have the numbers advantage. If everybody hits their block, you're going to have a successful run play. The Jets did not do that. The Jets' run blocking was bad in this game. And that's going to be that is an issue going forward. That's not good enough. The Jets have to run the ball for more than 3 yards per carry against any type of front, but especially when the other team is keeping two guys deep. So that wasn't there. There's another way you exploit a defense that has two safeties deep. That's the general area where they're vulnerable against the pass is the middle of the field. And you exploit them by usually using tight ends. Tight ends are the guys who work the middle of the field. You try and stretch the field with tight ends. Jets don't really have tight ends who can do that right now. Herndon, and I'm not trying to knock the young guys. The young guys just aren't ready yet. They're still developing, and you see the raw potential in a guy like Chris Herndon, that spectacular catch he made over Malik Hooker. I mean, you see what he could be. He's not there yet, and it's not a knock on him. He's a fourth-round pick. You know, it's not the end of the world that Chris Herndon's not there. Maybe a year from now he might be. He's not there right now. So my point here is, I want to put into context, is that the two things that you can do, the two best ways to attack that defense schematically, were kind of off the table for the Jets. The first, because they weren't running the ball effectively. The second, because they don't really have the players. And the one guy who probably could have done it, the one receiver who may have made an impact in that area, was Quincy Enunwa. And Enunwa left the game relatively early with an injury. He fumbled the ball on the play. He got hurt. My fantasy team this week has Enunwa. He registered -0.1 of a point. So I know that we don't play fantasy scoring in real NFL games. I know the Jets don't care about his fantasy numbers, but it shows you the impact Enunwa had on this game. So the Jets did not really have the tools, and Darnold was still effective. And that is a very positive development for the Jets. And in my view, I think Darnold was the driving force behind this victory. And not only that, I mean, they put up 42 points. Now, you know, they did force some turnovers on defense, but the defense did not play a great game. Jets gave up 34 points, and the defense was shredded in the second half. I mean, this game turned into a shootout. And Darnold just made the plays when he had to. You know, the big third downs when the Jets got behind the sticks because of a penalty or, you know, negative play, he hit a big pass. It just, whenever they needed to play, Darnold was there for it. And just, again, it should just make you excited about the future. Are there going to be bad games going forward? Yeah. Is it guaranteed this team is going to be in the playoffs this year? No. Could they be? Sure. Would you take it? Sure. But that's not the point. The point isn't just about this year. The point is this is the type of game where you feel like you're seeing progress. And that, more than anything, is what matters. You know, I think back to a year ago this time, the Jets were also 3-3. That Week 6 game was that horrible loss to New England with that awful Austin Seferian Jenkins call. And they were, you know, they were 500, but it just had a different feel because that team wasn't going anywhere. I remember that week I compared the Jets to the Cleveland Indians from the movie Major League, because they just had a bunch of cast-offs from everywhere. And you knew that team wasn't building towards anything. This team's building towards something because you're seeing a quarterback make steps in front of your eyes. MyBookie is slammed with new bettors and wants to give everyone the best service possible. If you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern Time, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie today. That's MyBookie. And if you use promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account, you can claim up to $1,000 in free play. And if you're willing to hold out until after 7 p.m. Eastern time, you can get an extra $25 free play by using promo code LOCKEDON25, LOCKEDON number 2, number 5. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie. We're here on Locked On Jets, breaking down a Week 6 victory. The Jets beat the Indianapolis Colts 42-34 at MetLife Stadium. They moved to 3-3 on the season, their first winning streak in a calendar year. And in many ways, I feel like this was a game where the Jets kind of joined the modern NFL, because for years, the Jets' philosophy, they've been a coaching staff governed by the idea that the offense was kind of a necessary evil. They've never said it outright, but it's just kind of the vibe you get, where the offense's job is to just not lose the game, just avoid the critical mistakes, even if it's not scoring. The philosophy seems to be that any drive that ends at the kick is a good drive, even if you're punting, that's good, because the objective is to go out and let the defense win the game. And it's such a fine line to play that way. It really is. You know, you first of all need the defense to shut down the opponent, and you have to win close games, because low scoring games are always going to be close. You know, one bounce goes against you. I mean, anything goes wrong, the defense goes out and plays poorly, you have no chance. So the Jets joined the modern NFL in that there were lots of areas of this team that were not functioning in this game that well, but the Jets were able to win because they have a legitimate quarterback. And, you know, there's one sequence that really kind of jumps out of my mind. It was very subtle that I really enjoyed from how Sam Darnold approached it. In the second half, there was this busted bootleg where Jabal Sheard tackled Darnold. He got into the backfield on block. He went straight for Darnold. And I thought that was on Darnold, because I felt like he did not vary his snap count enough. And that's easy to happen when you're a rookie. You have so much on your plate, so many new things happening, that you kind of forget that if you aren't careful, the defense can time your snap count. You know, if you don't vary it enough, they'll know exactly when the ball's going to be snapped and they can fire off it. And I think that's what Sheard did on that play. Well, later on, you know, a few series later, Darnold hard counts and he gets Sheard to jump offside. So just a little subtle adjustment. It's just a little mental thing that I really enjoyed seeing. I felt like that was like kind of a subtle little positive side. You know, another thought that kind of popped into my mind during the fourth quarter was the Jets lost Quincy Enunwa in the first half of this game, and Enunwa did not make much of an impact. He's been the most consistent receiver all year, although he's not made an impact the last 2 weeks. He's been the best receiver on the team at this point in 2018. He's kind of become Sam Darnold's security blanket. And, you know, you always talk about wanting to give your receiver a security blanket, somebody he can trust. It's a nice little thing for a rookie receiver to have. You don't want your quarterback to say that he's on his own. You know, you don't want to feel like your quarterback is on his own. But, and I fully acknowledge this. Don't take this to mean that I think it's good that Enunwa was gone long term. I think that Enunwa is going to be a very important part of this team. But part of me couldn't help but wonder, maybe it wasn't the worst thing in the world that Darnold had to work without Enunwa, at least for 1 week, for one game. Now, you don't want it to stretch into a longer time frame. You know, you don't want Enunwa to be gone a couple months. And we'll see. We'll find out more about the status of his injury in the days and weeks to come. Jets will need him long term. But for 1 week, it may not have been such a bad thing that Darnold had to learn to play without Enunwa, because I couldn't help but wonder, and I was thinking this over the last few weeks, maybe Darnold's become too reliant on Enunwa. Maybe he's just locking onto him a little too frequently. So maybe this forced Darnold to look in other directions, to scan the field a little bit more. Jermaine Kearse stepped up, had a good performance, you know, a very solid statistical game. Kearse put up 9 catches, 94 yards, and 10 targets. Darnold was 9 of 10 targeting Kearse. And look, Kearse is not a very dynamic receiver. He's not a game breaker. He's not going to burn a ton of guys and make a ton of big plays. He's a competent professional receiver. He knows how to find the soft spots in the zone. He knows how deep to take his routes. He'll get to the sticks on third down. No, I mean, there was one play where he had the first down, then jumped back, which was a bad move, and then ended up having to fight to regain the first down yards. But generally, you're not going to see bad plays. Generally, Kearse knows what he's doing. And if a quarterback like Darnold is scanning the whole field, he's going to find Kearse, and Kearse will have his opportunities. Another guy who stepped up in this game, Terrell Pryor, 5 catches, 57 yards, 1 touchdown. After his touchdown, my dad texted me and said, "It's about time Pryor did something." And I agreed with Dad. It was about time Pryor did something. So Dad was very happy to see Terrell Pryor's performance. So, you know, some guy, forces other guys to step up, and maybe it forced Darnold to look in other directions, and maybe it forced him to gain some trust in some other receivers. And even Robbie Anderson, who did not have a big game, Darnold threw a great pass. It seems like the chemistry between the two of them is really developing. Darnold threw a great pass to him on a deep ball that Anderson could have caught. I thought it hit him in the hand. Not an easy catch. And I don't think Anderson had a ton of separation, but that's the type of throw that shows you maybe the chemistry between the two of them is developing. Maybe Darnold's starting to trust Anderson a little bit more. So maybe you're starting to see things develop between Darnold and some of his other receivers. We've seen the chemistry there with Anunua. Maybe it's going to start picking up with some other guys. And, you know, the other thing that was good, it was good to see the Jets take control of this game. There was a sequence in the late second, early third quarters where the Jets really took control of this game. And this game was uneasy for a point because the Colts took a 13-10 lead at a point in the second quarter, early in the second quarter. And I was sitting there thinking, man, that's not good because the Colts have been awful in this. The Colts have gifted the Jets a lot in this game. I don't like the fact the Jets are behind. You know, the Colts just seemed adamant about giving the Jets an early touchdown, just gifting the Jets an early touchdown. And that's what happened early in the game. Andrew Luck's first two passes hit his receivers in the hands, which then popped up into the air, ripe to be intercepted by Jets players. The first one they did not get. The second one, Jamal Adams juggled a little bit, then popped further into the air to Maurice Claiborne, who picked it off, took it into the end zone. And the Jets essentially were gifted a touchdown right off the bat, which was a big deal because, I mean, the Jets didn't really do anything to create that touchdown. And essentially, right as the game starts, you know, 12 seconds in, they're up 7-0, which is a big deal because essentially that meant for the competitive portion of this game, the Jets could lose by 6 and still win the game, which is a pretty nice way to start the game. But then they fall behind, and it really built my confidence a little bit in this team, the way they took control of this game late in the second quarter, early third quarter. They put together a scoring drive. Terrell, that was the prior touchdown. So they take the lead 17-13, and then, you know, they convert a turnover into a field goal. So they're up 20-13. Then they get the ball back with 42 seconds left in the first half, a couple timeouts. And I'm saying, I know Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles has the lead right now. He's up 7. He's getting the ball in the second half. There's no way Todd Bowles is risking anything on this sequence. But they stayed aggressive. And I got to give Todd Bowles credit because I didn't think he'd do it. And I'm very critical of a lot of things Todd Bowles does, a lot of his in-game decisions. I was really happy that he stayed aggressive, and he attacked, the Jets attacked, and they ended up getting a field goal. They ran an excellent hurry-up, they ran an excellent two-minute drive, because it was a 40-second drive, got into field goal range for Jason Myers. Myers kicks a 32-yard field goal, so now they're up 23-13, and they get the ball to start the second, so you get the double whammy, the scoring drive right before the half, and you get the ball before the second half. And that set up a touchdown, Darnold to Herndon on the first drive of the second half. Now the Jets are up 30-13. So, you know, you think about that. Last time Andrew Luck left the field, he's down 7. The next time he steps on the field, he's down 17. You know, he went from one score down to being kind of out of the game, even though the Colts rallied and, you know, made the score respectable, got it to within a score a couple times. That's the thing you see the Patriots do all the time. That's where you see the Patriots swing so many games, by that sequence where they get the score right before the half, get the ball to start the second half, and go right down the field. And in many ways, you know, even though the Colts put together a solid second half offensively, you're down 17 in the third quarter. You can put together a solid second half offensively and still lose the game, and that's exactly what happens. That's where the Jets took control of the game. They took a game which felt uneasy to me and turned it into a comfortable game, even though, again, the Jets did make it a little less comfortable than it had to be later on. But that's why you get the cushion. That's why you get a 17-point lead. Even if you play less than perfect when you're up 17 in the second half, odds are very good you're going to win the football game. We're here on Locked On Jets. The Jets win their second straight game. They beat the Colts 42-34 at MetLife Stadium. You know, aside from Darnold, I think the star of the game was Jason Myers, 7-for-7 on field goals. You know, we did a show last week where I mentioned how I don't trust Myers in the big spot, and I talked about how he missed a chip shot last week, and I was really surprised. A couple people got mad at me over that. Not many, but a couple people actually got pretty upset with me for saying that. And I mean, I don't know what Myers is going forward, but I'll tell you, you can't complain about 7-for-7. That's as good as it gets. So, you know, I criticized Myers last week for missing the chip shot. Let me tip my hat to Jason Myers for making all 7 of his kicks in this game, and they needed them. You know, they won by eight. The field goal kicker adds 21 points. Good job by Chasen Myers. You know, he was reliable in this game. I don't think there's any question about it. If we're talking about another guy who I've – now, this is a guy I've actually been critical of. I don't think I was really that bad on Chasen Myers. Guy I've been critical of, guy I've not been impressed with so far this season is Jeremy Bates, the offensive coordinator. But I'm going to give Bates – I liked what Bates did in this game. First of all, he did the thing I've been suggesting for a month. How many weeks have you heard me – how many times have you heard me say – the Jets are running all these wide receiver screens. Defenses are jumping it. Run a play where you fake a screen. You run a pump fake. Get the corners to bite on it, and then send your receivers down the field. And they did that. And that's what set up the Herndon touchdown, that touchdown early in the third quarter we were just talking about. And the Jets did not – the Colts bit on that so hard that the Jets did not just have one guy wide open down. They had two guys wide open down the field because the Colts were so – convinced it was going to be another wide receiver screen. So I'm glad he finally did that. And I also have to give Bates credit from this standpoint, is the way Darnold was throwing the ball, he was very effective. The way the Jets were struggling running the ball, it would have been very easy to abandon the run. And I know they did not get the results. See, when I look at play calling, it's not just about results. It's also about process. First of all, you don't want to leave your quarterback in a situation where the defense can pin its ears back and just go attack him. So, and even, you know, Darnold was playing very well, but again, he's still a rookie. You don't want to put him in that spot where the defense is just sitting on pass on everything. So you have to run to keep them honest. But beyond that, again, you have the situation where you're up against the defense that's keeping two safeties deep. You still have the numbers advantage, and you have a defensive line that you have a defensive front that's not that deep. So over the course of the game, you may wear them down. And even if it takes three quarters, even if you're not getting much on the ground, eventually in the fourth quarter, maybe you pop one. And the Jets did not in this game, but under a different scenario, if the Colts had rallied a little bit better, you know, who knows what could have happened. So I liked the way Bates approached this. I thought the process behind his play calling was very good. And again, he's a guy I've been critical of. I'm going to praise him when I think he does a good job. I criticize when I think you do a bad job. I praise when I think you did a good job. So I think Bates did a good job in that sense. You know, another guy, Maurice Claiborne, I thought played a really good game. He had the touchdown early, which I didn't think I did not think Claiborne really had anything to do with. I thought that was kind of right place, right time. So he'll get the most credit probably for the touchdown. I did not think that was impressive. I thought the rest of the game he played was impressive. See, I thought he had more to do with the Avery Williamson interception where he broke up the pass and knocked it right to Williamson. That's the play that impressed me, and I just thought he was really solid in the back of the defense. You know, he's really stepped up the last couple of weeks without Trumaine Johnson. The Jets have needed him to take a bigger role on, and so far he's been up to it. So good performance by him. Darren Lee led the Jets in tackles, but I'll tell you, he made maybe the most important play of the game, the play that really iced the game. The Jets defense was struggling in the second half. It never felt like the Jets were not in control of this game, but it just felt like they were letting the Colts hang around. And I said at one point, the Jets just need to make one play on defense. Somebody's got to make one play. And Lee made it. Lee picked Luck off. That was a very decisive play with the Jets up two scores late in the fourth quarter. That pretty much snuffed out any hope the Colts had of making a comeback. So, you know, Lee's another guy who kind of stood out to me in addition to some of the other people we've mentioned. You know, Darnold and Myers, I think, are the two stars of this game. And then a couple other guys stepped up. And, you know, these guys compensated for areas where the Jets struggled. I thought the Jets kind of struggled in the trench. I thought the Jets struggled in both trenches, the offensive line, again, not great in the run game. They were better in the pass game. They were better pass protecting, but what they did in the run game is not good enough. Spencer Long, it's becoming an issue. The second straight week where he's erratic with some of these snaps, the snap that led to the play where Darnold threw the interception, that snap was off target, maybe messed up Darnold's time. I don't want to say that because I don't want to blame Long for the interception because Darnold never should have thrown that ball despite the bad snap. But that was a bad, and then there was a third down play late in the fourth quarter where it was just an awful snap. The Jets were lucky it wasn't a fumble. The snap was so bad. The Jets were lucky they didn't turn it over. The snap was so bad. So that's becoming an issue. And then the defensive front, they were just gashed by the Colts in the second half. Really felt like the Colts were controlling the game. You know, on when they had the ball, it felt like they were controlling the ball on the ground. They were running all over the Jets. And the Jets were not getting much pressure to the quarterback, which was a problem because you had a defense that was playing without two of its top three corners, even with Claiborne playing well. So you wanted to see the defensive line maybe take control of the game, help the secondary out a little bit. It wasn't happening. So, you know, there are things to clean up in this game, but it is a win and it is a victory Monday here on the Locked On Jets podcast. Thank you for listening. I am John B. from GangreneNation.com, your host. If you like this show, subscribe on iTunes or Spotify, and we'll deliver the show to your device each morning. You can listen to us when you feel like it. Leave the show a good review in iTunes if you enjoyed it as well. Hope you have a great Monday. We'll be back again tomorrow to talk more Jets.